Amen. Thank you, Hannah. That was beautiful. You know, I think this is a good way to start the service, don't you? Yeah. We appreciate these brethren joining the church and appreciate the singing. We're just thankful to be in the Lord's house. And we want you to continue to pray that the Lord will be with us and bless us and help us. Maybe someone has something you want to say. Maybe this is a day for testimonies. Anybody? Amen. God bless you, Brother Collins. Anyone else with a testimony? Well, if not, we're going to read a few passages of Scripture and going to speak to you for a little bit. I'm going to read from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians this morning. This has been on my heart and on my mind. I use this passage of Scripture sometimes at a burial service, but it's good for all times. I'm going to start at verse 50. And it reads like this. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That is, we who are still living shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Now, that's my lesson for this morning. And I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my thought for today the sting of death, the power of the law, and the victory of faith. I want to say that again. The sting of death, the power of the law, and the victory of faith. I don't hardly know where to begin, but I'll start by saying this. Physical death, I believe, is the sting of death. Everybody's going to die, saint and sinner. Those who have lived good lives, they're going to die. Those who have lived bad lives, they're going to die too. And so the Apostle Paul said in this lesson that I read in your hearing that the sting of death is sin. So you could turn that around and I think not do any injury at all to the Word of God and say that the sting of sin is death. And that's the first thing I want to talk to you about. The Bible tells us that as by one man sin came into the world, and that death passed upon all men, all, that's everybody, passed upon all men. That's why all men die. Death is the result of sin. It is the punishment for sin. Even when God told Adam, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. That was the punishment for the sin of disobeying God. And so Paul said death passed upon all men because all have sinned. And we read in the Bible, I'm going to go over to Romans just for a moment, and I'll try not to be too lengthy, but this is what the Bible says. Romans 12, 5 and 12. As by one man sin entered the world. I've already talked about that, so let's go to verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now, there was no law that said, there was no written law. God just spoke the law to Adam. He disobeyed, and he became separated from God because of sin. That was the punishment. Separation from God was the punishment for the sin. But it goes on and it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, it goes on and tells us that by one man's offense, Adam's offense, it says death reigned by one. Much more then, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. So we know how sin came into the world. We know that the results of sin, death passed upon all men. And we know that all of us are going to die. The Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die. We're going to die physically. We're going to die physically. Everybody is going to die. And then the Bible said that the strength of sin is the law. And I think that means that the law demands punishment. You know, sometimes people break the laws of our land and they go unpunished, you know. But the laws of God are eternal, and the laws of God either will be the sins that are committed against the laws of God will either be forgiven or you'll have to pay for them yourself. It's just that simple, you see. The law gives strength to the commandments of the Lord Jesus. Now, a lot of things I could say, but for time's sake, I won't go through everything that I thought that I would say. But the Bible tells us this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous that doeth good and sinneth not. So the law demands that sin that men be held accountable for it. The law demands it. And so the law puts teeth into the laws of God. That sounds like a double talk, but it's not double talk at all. And the Bible tells us also that the wages of sin is death. The wages, that's what you get from living in sin, is death. And so the victory that Paul spoke about, he said, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can have victory over sin. And we can, be given eternal life so that we will never perish. Although we die physically, you know. The real individual, the real person will never perish eternally because his sins have been paid for, not by him, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just pray for me and bear with me for a few minutes. I want you to know what the Bible said. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, the Bible was talking about Abraham being justified by faith. And I want to go over there and just notice this. Romans chapter 4. And it says, that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. God was able to do what he said he would do. And he was persuaded, that is, he had faith in God's ability to do what he said that he would do. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was given to him, placed on his account. His faith was imputed for righteousness. He said it was not written for his sake only, but it was that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So I want to move on a little bit further. This chapter, this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And the Apostle Paul is replying to some people who denied the resurrection. There were some who were saying that there is no resurrection. We have a lot of people today that say the same thing. They don't believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it is important that we also defend the teachings of the Bible on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, and Paul begins his defense in the first chapter of the book, first verse of the 15th chapter. And he said, I delivered unto you that which I also received. How that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, I didn't start that maybe as I should have. Let me back up and read it. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now I want to pause just for a moment. The Apostle Paul said that he delivered to them the gospel. And that is the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, it is by that gospel that you were saved. He said that I delivered this unto you according to the scriptures. He based what he was preaching on the scripture. Now, the scripture is the written word of God. And the scripture, the Bible said, all scripture is divinely inspired. So you can trust the scripture. You can trust what the scripture has to say. Now, we know that Jesus Christ came to this world and he lived among men. And we know that he was later arrested and sentenced to death. And he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Now that's, not only what the scripture says, but secular history will confirm that as well. That there was a man who lived by the name of Jesus, and he was crucified. And he was buried. Now, history may say it was reported that he rose from the dead. But I'm going to tell you that the Bible said he rose from the dead. It's not some man's opinion. It's the eternal and everlasting word of God that death, it was not possible that death should hold him. The scripture goes on, and he says he was buried, and he rose the third day, and he did. And the Bible said that it was according to the scripture. He was delivered, Paul said, for our offenses. That is, he paid the price for our transgressions. He died for our sins. Now, when we say the scripture includes not only the New Testament, but it includes the Old Testament as well. And the Bible tells us in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. It refers to the Lord Jesus. And I want to turn over there just for a few moments of time. 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, I could quote most of this, perhaps, and I might miss some of it. But I want to read some of it to you now. And this is what it said. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. Now he was God's remedy for sin. I want you to understand that. When it says that he carried our sorrows and he bore our griefs. And it says that he was smitten and afflicted of God. And that means that he was God's remedy for our sins. Jesus took the punishment of our sins in our behalf. And it says in verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was put upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. I told you a while ago that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now listen. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now when Paul says that he preached the gospel, he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus according to the scriptures, that's what he meant. Now I want to read just a little more. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, that is, he was put to death. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. For sin, Jesus was put to death because of sin. And he made his grave with the wicked. Jesus would have been buried in the potter's field had it not been for Nicodemus and for Joseph. Joseph had a new grave that had never been used. And he took Jesus down from the cross. And instead of him being buried in the potter's field, he was buried in Joseph's new tomb. And it said, and he made and with the rich in his death. And that's what that means. Joseph was a rich man. And he had his own tomb. And so he gave that tomb to the Lord Jesus for his burial place. And because he had done no violence, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now God loved his son just as much as we love our sons and our daughters. And it'd be very difficult for us to allow, if we had the power to prevent it, to allow our sons and daughters to be treated like Jesus was treated. And God could have prevented it. There's only one reason why God allowed it. Do you know what it was? It was because of his love for mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he gave him to die on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved from our sins and delivered from the consequences of sin. Now, it said it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. You talk about the grace of God. You know, the Bible said by grace we're saved. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not of ourselves. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, when we get to heaven, if we say anything, I don't know what we'll say when we get there. I do know that we will sing and we will give praise to the Lord for saving wretches such as we were. But there will be none of us brag about what we did to achieve heaven and immortal glory. Because it is a free gift of God. It is by grace. And it's through faith. And it is not by any kind of works. Not any kind of works. And so, he said that we won't brag. We won't tell about what all we did for the church or what all we did for other people or nothing like that. None of that will ever come to our mind. We'll just be thanking and praising God for salvation by grace. And we'll know that we didn't deserve it. And we'll know that Jesus didn't deserve what he went through. But he did it so that we wouldn't have to suffer the penalty of eternal death for our sins. Now, it said, he shall see his seed. Well, let me back up. I left something out. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see, his soul was made an offering for our sins, not his sins, for he did no sin. He became the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the one and only thing that could make things right between me and God. He did it. He made it possible. He died for my sins. And it said, he shall see his seed. Now, sitting in the pews of this church building here today are his seed. You see, we are his offsprings. You know, we have salvation and we have eternal life through him and because of him as the gift of God. And the Lord Jesus, he could see the benefits to all of us of giving his life on the cross. You know, it wasn't easy for Jesus. Before he was arrested, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And he agonized. Now, Jesus was a man and he was of like passions as we are. And if he stuck a thorn in his flesh, it hurt him just like it would hurt me and you. And when they smote him with a reed, it hurt him just like it would hurt you and me. And when they whipped him with a cat of nine tails and ripped the skin out of his back, it hurt him just like it would hurt you and me. He was a man. and he had the same emotions that we have. But you see, he was also God. And he knew full well how important his death on the cross would be. And so he prayed and he said, "Oh, my Father, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he prayed that prayer three times. There was no response from his Father to that prayer. He had prayed many times. The Bible tells us about him going to a solitary place and praying. And it talks about him praying all night, being in communion with his Father as he prayed all night. But that prayer, there was no response, because it was forever settled in the council halls of glory before the foundation of the world that Jesus would die for our sins. He volunteered to do it. He was not forced into doing it. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. When they came to arrest him, and Peter cut off the man's ear, and Jesus said, "Put your sword up. He that liveth by the sword will die by the sword." And Jesus healed the man's ear. And he said, "Don't you know?" He said, "Don't you know? Even now, I could call 12 legions of angels to deliver me." But he didn't do it. You see, Jesus died on that cross willingly, paid the debt for sin, so that you and I would not have to pay the debt for sin. You see, the sting of death is sin, or the punishment for our sins is physical death. If it wasn't for our physical sins, we would not have to die a physical death. And the law of God demands the punishment for sin. I might not have explained that good. I know I didn't a while ago when I was talking about that. But sin has to be paid for. Not only our personal sins that, you know, even as Paul talked about, sin reigned from death, from Moses, Adam to Moses. You know, there was no law that said thou shalt not kill, but it was wrong to kill. It was against God's eternal moral law for one man to kill another. And God's punishment, he said, if a man sheds another man's blood, by his blood shall his blood be shed. If a man kills another man, he should be killed for doing it. He should suffer the punishment of it. You see, man was created in the image of God. And when you destroy a man, my friend, you're destroying the image of God. And it's a great offense to God for that to be done. But anyway, I'm off of the subject. I want to say this. Salvation is available today. It's available today. Jesus tasted death for every man. He died the awful death that he died so that you and I could have forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, I want to go back over here, and I'm going to have to close. I want to go back just for a minute. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, this is talking about people who have been saved right now. We shall not all sleep. And that means when Jesus comes, there's going to be a generation of people, or more than one generation of people living, that will not go through physical death. We shall not all die the physical death. Now, we would if Jesus did not come the second time. But his second coming is going to prevent the physical death of some. But he said we shall all be changed. We'll all be changed. The living saints will be glorified. And the living wicked, they're going to be changed also. Their bodies will be changed into contemptible bodies. Just like Jesus said in the resurrection, you know. He said the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout. And he says that all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and all shall live. And he said, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. And so all that are living at the time Jesus comes, they're going to be changed. And the living will have a body that's fitted for heaven. I mean, the saints will have a body fitted for heaven, and the wicked will have a body that's fitted for hell. And so listen, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. Oh, that seems mysterious, doesn't it? How can that happen? Listen, all things are possible with God. Nothing that is impossible with God. And he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And he said, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in his death, burial, and resurrection will provide victory over sin and over death. And that's the only thing that will. There is nothing else that will. Then he says, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? When we stand on the other side, you know, we look at people who die. I think of people who have died with the COVID disease, you know, and we say, well, they were victims of the virus. You know, the virus got the best of them. But listen, if they were saved, the virus didn't get the best of them. Because victory, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to close. And I pray that God will bless the message. I wish I could have made it plainer. The Lord, that it is in my mind and in my heart, it is so plain. There is no way to misunderstand that the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus and through his death, burial, and resurrection. There is no other way. And I know that Jesus tasted death for every man. And I know that because the Scripture says so. God's eternal word. If you're here and lost today, if you hope to go to heaven, the only possible way that you'll make it is by repenting of your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ, in His death for your sins, in His resurrection from the dead, because He is the first fruits of them that slept. Did you know everybody else that died, they remained, their bodies remained dead. But Jesus rose from the dead, and He broke the chains of death, and He set the captives free. I'm thankful for the Word of God today. I want you to be saved. I want you to believe in Jesus. I don't want you to be deceived or be misled. I don't want you to think there's some other way to get to heaven, because there is none other way. It's through Jesus. May God bless you. And if you feel like you need to pray today, this altar remains open at all times. And I want you to have that opportunity. Let me just try to quote a verse of a song if I can. Who is that calling, knocking, seeking? Who is that troubling your soul? Surely it's Jesus, seeking, asking, wanting to make you whole. That fear of death, that uneasiness of facing God without salvation, that's the Lord speaking to your heart. He causes that to happen. Is there anyone you feel the need to come to Jesus today? Would you just get up out of your seat and come to Jesus? You'll have to do it by yourself. Nobody can help you with this. It's Jesus. He's the only one that can. Is there one? All right. May God have mercy on those that are lost. And may God help us as His people to lift up Jesus. And may God strengthen our church. And may God help us that we can see our friends and our loved ones born again, saved by God's grace, so that they too can have victory over sin and death and the judgment. Anyone have anything to say? Standing together, we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Brother Moran, if I might say this word.
All right. Thank you. Brother Blevins, I want to ask you to pray our closing prayer for us today, please.